Almighty God, we come to you now and we ask that you would clear away the distractions of the day and of the week, that you would allow us to be focused for the next few minutes, and you would allow our minds to drift back to that holy night. Lord, we're not sure exactly when that night was, but we know that there was such a night when angels appeared to shepherds and proclaimed the wonderful news that God had entered the world and that Jesus was born. And Lord, let our minds and hearts drift back to that night and let us catch a vision of how special that was when that news was proclaimed to shepherds as they were tending their flock. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would care to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I'm just a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, Lord, you hear me when I'm calling. You catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I'm yours. I'm yours. It's always special whenever we receive an invitation. It doesn't matter what the invitation is for. It could be an invitation to a graduation or an invitation to a wedding or even to a birthday party. It could be an informal invitation, just an invitation to come over to our house and play games, or an invitation to go out to eat for lunch after church, or an invitation just to get together and drink some coffee and talk. It doesn't matter what the invitation is. It's always special when you receive that invitation. Because whenever you get that invitation, it's someone telling you in some small way that they think that you're a little bit special. In fact, so special enough that they want to spend some time with you and they want to develop a deeper relationship with you. Yes, I know sometimes we give invitations that are self-serving. I'll admit, when I invited people to my high school graduation, a few of them, I didn't really want them to come. I wanted them to give me a gift. I'll admit that. But most of the time, when we invite someone, whatever the invitation is, we're telling that person, I think you're a little bit special, and I want to grow deeper in our relationship together. And I wonder if the shepherds felt a little bit special when the angels gave them an invitation to come and see the newborn baby Jesus. It was the middle of the night, and the way I imagine it, it probably was pretty cold. Probably wasn't in the middle of winter, but still it was cool. And they are gathering around the fire. Those shepherds were resting after a long, hard day. Maybe they were visiting about what had gone on that day. Maybe they were visiting about the goings-on in the kingdom. Maybe they were talking about how everyone had to go to their birthplace to register so they could pay taxes to the king. But in my mind, I just imagine those shepherds just resting, relaxing around a fire. Being a shepherd was a hard day's work. If you're going to be a shepherd, you had to take care of your flock the whole time, and you had to take care of all their needs. And so your job as a shepherd was to make sure those sheep had pasture to graze in. Your job as a shepherd was to make sure those sheep had quiet waters to drink from on a regular basis. Your job as a shepherd was to protect those sheep from any wild animals or ferocious beasts that might try to attack the flock. And your job as a shepherd was to be a nurse. And if someone of the flock, if one of the sheep got ill or got diseased, got injured, you were to be the nurse to take care of them. As a shepherd, you were there to find the sheep. And if they wandered off, as sheep often do, the shepherd would then have to go find them. It was a demanding job It was a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week job. You had to be with the sheep all the time. Most of the time you were with the sheep by yourself. And you'd be away from your families for a good period of time. And you'd just be you and the sheep, and you would be with them out on the fields for a long stretches of time. You'd get dirty and you'd get smelly. You'd have to become rough and tough if you're going to make it as a shepherd. Someone has said that shepherds in the first century were kind of like cowboys in the 19th century who would be out on the trail driving those cattle up the Chisholm Trail, going wherever they're going to go. Shepherds had to be like that. They had to live out on the trail, had to live there for long stretches of time to drive those sheep, to make sure they had the pasture and the water and all the things they needed to make it through. And they've had another long, hard day. And these rough and tough shepherds are relaxing around this fire. And then a light appears. They start to look up to the sky and they see this light is an angel. And they're afraid. And the angel says to these rough, dirty, smelly shepherds, "Do not fear. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you gospel," literally. "That today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born, and He is Christ, the Lord." The angel used four key terms: David, Savior, Christ, and Lord. Two of those terms Caesar Augustus had used to describe himself. He had said, "I am the Savior of the world. I am the Lord." And two of those terms had been used in messianic prophecy, that the Messiah would come in the line of David, and the Messiah would be the anointed one, Christ. And the angel, in essence, was saying, "I've got good news, because the real Lord and the real Savior is not Caesar Augustus. It's a baby who's been born. And the true Messiah from the line of David, the true anointed one, is here, and He's been born." And the angel said, "Here's the sign. This baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes, and He's lying in a manger." And those shepherds, it says, they begin to talk to one another. And I wish I could have been a part of that conversation, don't you? What did they say to one another? "Did you see that? What was that?" "I don't know. It's crazy. What do you think we should do?" "I think we should go." "All right, let's do it." And shepherds do what shepherds aren't supposed to do. They leave the flock and they go. It says they hurried off. They didn't wait to talk about it. They didn't decide, "Well, let's talk about this for a little while and think about this." No, they just went. They just went. And they find Mary and Joseph, and they find that baby, and they begin to tell their story. Guess what happened to us? Angels appeared. And they see the baby, and they go back to their flocks, it says, praising and glorifying God. Those shepherds saw angels, received an invitation, and they obeyed that invitation. They came, they told their story, they became a witness, and they began to praise God. What a great story, isn't it? But here's my question. My question of Luke chapter 2 is, why shepherds? Why shepherds? Why did God choose that when the Son of God was born, the very first invitation that would be given for someone to come see this baby, the very first announcement that would be sent out to say, "We have a new baby, it's the Son of God," that it would be given to shepherds, to dirty, smelly, rough, and tough shepherds? Why shepherds? Some of you might have been following the media frenzy over the past couple weeks about the Duke and the Duchess, Will and Kate, who came to visit United States of America. Well, if you didn't know, Will and Kate, they have a son named Prince George, born last year, about 1 year of age. Well, when Prince George was born, there was all kinds of things that happened to let the world know that Prince George was here. First of all, there was press releases that were issued. There were commemorative coins that were made in his honor. There was a composer who made or composed a lullaby specifically for Prince George. I mean, wouldn't you like that? Your own special lullaby. There was bells rang in Westminster Abbey. There were gun salutes in a number of different countries. All these different things to let the world know there's a new member of the royal family. And what does God do when the Son of God enters the world? What does he do to let people know that Jesus is here? He sends angels to shepherds. That would be like when Prince George is born. That would be like the royal family getting a random group of taxi drivers in London and saying, hey, guess what? Prince George is born. It doesn't make sense. I mean, think about it with me. What if you were the publicist for God? And God says, okay, I want you to let everyone know that my son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come into the world. What would you do? Who would you tell if you were God's publicist? I know the first thing you do, you post it on Facebook or tweet about it. But beyond that, who would you tell? Who would be the first people that you would tell? Would you call President Obama, the White House? Would you try to reach the governor or the mayor or some other governmental leader and say, hey, guess what? Jesus is here. Would you try to reach the religious leaders? Would you get a gathering of preachers together and say, hey, guys, he's here. Would you call your family? Would you call your friends? Who would you talk to first? I'm pretty sure that the first group of people that you would try to reach out to let them know that Jesus, the Son of God, is here, is a group of cowboys on the trail, or a bunch of truck drivers at a truck stop, or a bunch of farmers out in the field. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because those guys are just ordinary. They're not influential. They're not connected. They're not powerful. They're just ordinary, regular folks. Dirty, smelly, rough and tough shepherds. And yet that's what God does. Jesus is born, and the first people that he gives an invitation to come see the baby is shepherds. Why shepherds? Scholars have debated this question for quite some time. And there are some scholars that say, well, maybe the reason is if you look throughout Scripture, there is a theme of shepherds. So in the Old Testament, David, who the Messiah was in the line of David, his first vocation was shepherd. There are occasions in the Old Testament where God is referred to as a shepherd. Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. There are also occasions in the prophetic literature, in Ezekiel and other places like that, where kings and other leaders are referred to as shepherds. Then he moved to the New Testament, and Jesus, when he begins his ministry, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. Then we go to the church, and who are the leaders of the church? Well, the leaders of the church are people we refer to as shepherds or pastors, Ephesians chapter 4. And so there are some scholars say, if you look at the Bible, there is this theme of shepherds. And so maybe that's the reason why when Jesus was born, the very first people that receive the announcement and receive the invitation are shepherds. Well, maybe. And that's a pretty cool connection, isn't it? But why those shepherds? Why those? What, were they just happened to be in the right place at the right time to represent the shepherds of the world? I mean, what was it about those guys that they got to receive the first invitation? It just doesn't make sense to me. There are other scholars who say, well, maybe the reason is that if you look in Greek and Hellenistic literature, specifically in poetry, there is this image of shepherds being with their flock as kind of this idyllic image, this image of paradise. And so maybe that's what was going on. God announces to the shepherds first, because he wants there to be this picture of paradise, because shepherds, they conjure up that image of paradise. Well, maybe. But if you go to Jewish literature, there's writings in the Mishnah and other places that aren't very positive about shepherds. In fact, there are some Jewish thinkers who think that shepherds were not viewed very positively. They were viewed with contempt because they had to work on the Sabbath day. You have to be with your flock all the time. You have to be away from your family. So shepherds weren't very good dads, weren't very good husbands. On top of that, shepherds were always ceremonially unclean because they had to be around disease and they had to be around death. And so they couldn't worship properly because they were always unclean. In fact, there are some writings that tell us that shepherds were not trusted. They were viewed as people who would try to get whatever they could to get ahead. And so you didn't trust them. And they weren't even allowed in the court of law to give a testimony. They were not trusted that much. Now, isn't that interesting? God chooses, as the very first witnesses of the birth of Jesus, to be shepherds who are not even allowed, according to Jewish literature, to be witnesses in a court of law. That doesn't make sense, does it? Why shepherds? Why shepherds? So far as we know, Mary and Joseph didn't have any connections to shepherds. Joseph's vocation was a carpenter or a construction worker. His vocation was not to be a shepherd. We don't think there was any family connections between Mary and Joseph and shepherds. I don't think there was any way that shepherds were a part of their family. Some people say, well, maybe they just happened to be the closest people to where Mary and Joseph was, and so that's why God invited them. Maybe. We don't really know. There's no way of really telling that. So far as we can tell, as I've studied the scripture, there's not a really good, firm answer for why God would choose shepherds to be the very first people that he would invite to come see baby Jesus. It just doesn't make any sense. And so it seems to me that all you're left with is that the reason why God invited shepherds, dirty, smelly, rough, and tough shepherds, is he did it out of grace. They didn't deserve it. They weren't worthy. They didn't have the influence. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the reason of why they should be invited. It was just out of grace that God, in this moment, was demonstrating that Jesus is coming into the world, and his coming is not for the rich and the powerful. His coming is not for the kings and the priests. His coming is so that the humble can find grace. The humble can find grace. See, the birth of Jesus means a lot of things. It means hope for the world because the Redeemer's here. It means salvation from sins because the Savior's born. It means peace on earth because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But it also means grace to the shepherds. Grace to the shepherds. Because whenever you see that nativity scene and you see those shepherds, you're always reminded they don't deserve to be there. There's no reason why they should be there. They had nothing to offer. And yet God invited them out of grace. And I think that's good news for us. Because for some reason, you've been invited to come see the baby Jesus. I don't know how you got invited. Maybe you were invited because your parents raised you in a home of faith and has taught you to follow Jesus. Maybe you were invited because you had a friend who one day invited you to come to church, and through that you learned of Jesus. Maybe you were invited through a preacher, through a teacher, through some other spiritual leader who taught you about Jesus and taught you about his coming and his birth and his death and resurrection. But somehow you were invited. Somehow the angels have broken into your dark night and have proclaimed to you, I bring you good news of great joy. I've got gospel to tell you. Jesus Christ is here. Somehow you've been invited. And why were you invited? There's not a good reason for why I was invited. Because I'm a sinner. And I'm guilty of sin. And I've been rebellious to God. And I've missed the mark. And I've fallen short of the glory of God. And there's not a good reason why we are invited, church. There's not a good reason for it. We're not influential enough. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough power to overcome the sins and the transgressions of our life. There's not a good reason for us to be invited. But God invited us. In many ways, we're just like shepherds. Someone said, the shepherd's journey to the baby Jesus is the same journey that every other person takes. It's a journey we all take. That all of us are invited, but we don't deserve to be invited. Instead, God, just like he invited those shepherds, he invites us out of grace. Out of grace. You see, we're all really the same. We're all just like those shepherds. We all get up on Monday morning and we go to work, and some of our jobs are a little more demanding than others. Some of our jobs require a little bit more harder work than others. Some of our jobs pay a little more than others, but really we're all just about the same. We're all just blue-collar workers out there doing our normal thing, just like those shepherds were. Blue-collar workers, dirty, smelly shepherds who are just trying to do their living every single day in a faithful way. We're just like those shepherds, and just like they were invited, we too are invited out of God's grace to come and see the baby Jesus. We're not the rich and the powerful. We're not the kings and the elite. We're just shepherds. But the message of Luke 2 is that there's grace for shepherds. There's grace for shepherds. And when we start to understand that we are receiving grace, we're invited out of grace. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy, but we're invited. Then we have to say, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name and to care to feel my hurt? Who am I? Who am I that the bright and morning star would care to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. It's not because of who I am, but what you've done. I'm just a flower quickly fading here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, but still, Lord, you hear me when I'm calling. You catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I'm yours. I've been invited. I've been invited to come see the newborn baby, Jesus. I'm just a shepherd, but I've been invited out of grace. Isn't that great? I'm going to tell a story that I've told before, but it just fits, church, okay? So I'm just going to tell it again, and besides, Dan Leaf wanted me to tell this story this year, so I got to do it this Sunday or next, and so I'm doing it this Sunday. Bob Davidson, for many years, was connected with Aggies for Christ, but before that, he was involved in ministry up in New York, and while he was up there involved in ministry up in New York, they were having a gospel meeting. And he was a special meeting, special worship meeting, where they were going to have lessons about the gospel. And Bob was out passing out invitations to invite people to come to that meeting. And while he was out doing that, there was a drunk man who was kind of ambling down the road. And Bob looked at those with him and said, "Don't worry about him, I'll get him." And he walked up to that drunk guy, and he took that invitation and he just stuck it in his back pocket and kind of sent him on the way. Well, next couple days, they're having the gospel meeting, having the worship service, and that drunk guy shows up. And they welcome him, they greet him, and they say, "How'd you know to come?" And he reaches in his back pocket, pulls out a crumpled invitation. He said, "You know, the other day I found this in my back pocket. I don't know how it got there, but I thought the Lord was trying to tell me something. And so I came." And he came the next night. And he came the next night. And he came the next night. Until finally, when the invitation was offered, he walked to the front. He said, "I want to become a Christian. I want to be baptized into Christ." Well, that new Christian decided the next summer or two that he wanted to work at Camp Shiloh. Camp Shiloh is a camp up in New York for inner city kids. And he worked all summer at that Camp Shiloh. And that former drunk guy was a counselor to those kids, and while he was a counselor, he met another counselor who was a lady, and they hit it off, fell in love, got married, had kids, started raising a Christian home, and one of those kids grew up and developed a passion for missions. In about his mid to late 30s, he sold everything he had and said, "I'm going to go give my life to being a missionary in India." While he was in India, there was a short-term mission team that went over there to help him and doing a vacation Bible school. And someone on that mission team was a young lady, and that missionary fell in love with that young lady. They married, and now they're devoting their lives to being missionaries in India. Some of you know the end of the story. That young lady is my sister. That missionary is my brother-in-law. That drunk guy was his dad. My sister and her family are missionaries in India because Bob Davidson put an invitation in that drunk man's back pocket. And he didn't deserve it, church. He didn't deserve it. He was not worthy to receive that invitation. It was an invitation out of grace because he was a dirty, smelly, rough, and tough shepherd. But he was invited out of grace. We've been invited. No matter how dirty you are, how smelly you are, how rough and tough, how ordinary, you're invited. You are invited to come see the newborn baby king, and you're invited out of grace. And so how are you going to respond to your invitation? For some of us, we need to respond. We need to walk to one of our elders who are going to be surrounding this building and say, pray for me. I need renewal. God's invited me, and I've wandered off the way. I need to come back to the Lord. And I hope you'll walk to one of our elders and let them pray over you. For some of us, we need to walk to the front and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I want to repent of my sins and be baptized in Christ and change the story of my life. You've been invited. How are you going to respond to that invitation? We're going to sing a song of invitation. If there's any way we can help you to come to the Lord, to come see the newborn baby king, please come. You've been invited. Please come. Let's stand and sing.